From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from Jeremiah 3 and verse 14. I am married unto you. Christ Jesus is joined unto his people in marriage union. In love he espoused his church as a chaste virgin long before she fell under the yoke of bondage. Full of burning affection he toiled, like Jacob for Rachel, until the whole of her purchase money had been paid. And now, having sought her by his Spirit and brought her to know and love him, he awaits the glorious hour when their mutual bliss shall be consummated at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Not yet hath the glorious bridegroom presented his betrothed, perfected and complete, before the majesty of heaven. Not yet hath she actually entered upon the enjoyment of her dignities as his wife and queen. She is as yet a wanderer in a world of woe, a dweller in the tents of Kedar. But she is even now the bride, the spouse of Jesus, dear to his heart, precious in his sight, written on his hands and united with his person. On earth he exercises towards her all the affectionate offices of husband. He makes rich provision for her wants, pays all her debts, allows her to assume his name and to share in all his wealth. Nor will he ever act otherwise to her. The word divorce he will never mention, for he hateth putting away. Death must sever the conjugal tie between the most loving mortals, but it cannot divide the links of this immortal marriage. In heaven they marry not, but are as the angels of God. Yet there is this one marvelous exception to the rule, for in heaven Christ and his church shall celebrate their joyous nuptials. This affinity, as it is more lasting, so it is more near than earthly wedlock. Let the love of husband be never so pure and fervent. It is but a faint picture of the flame which burns in the heart of Jesus. Passing all human union is that mystical cleaving unto the church, for which Christ left his Father and became one flesh with her.
Stay, I come to the walls and I come to the walls.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. As he nears the conclusion of this series in 1 Thessalonians, Pastor Tamassian brings the next portion of a message called A Gospel Church is a Church with Purpose. In chapter 5, verses 15 through 28, Paul shows that such a church recognizes the need for prayer, especially for those who are involved in the ministry of the Word. Believers need to pray individually and corporately for God's power upon their minister, as well as upon God's faithful servants worldwide. Then Paul emphasizes the need for interaction among believers in the local assembly in order to promote unity and affection. The Lord Jesus commanded His disciples to love one another, for that shows the world that Christians are one in Christ. Now here is Pastor Tamassian to continue this message, A Gospel Church is a Church with Purpose.
Paul needs prayer. He needs support, and those that are with him, they need prayer. And so this is a responsibility for all the people of God. It is to take upon their hearts the need to pray, especially in relation to those that are involved in some area of ministry. They're the ones that stand in front of people. Individuals come to the fore, the preacher, the minister, the missionaries that are involved in various aspects of the work of God, maybe evangelists and those involved in forms of outreach. And there they are at the forefront, and they're busy and they're involved. But they depend upon, they require, heaven would demand of us that we pray for them. That as we pray, as we seek the Lord, that we remember those that are involved in aspects of the work of God, and we bring them before God. It may seem so little, it may seem so insignificant. A little prayer every now and again as you wait before God, as you pray each day or whatever, you just add in, Lord, bless the preachers, bless this minister, bless this missionary. It may not seem like much asking, Lord, provide, give them power, give them help. And that really doesn't seem like much, and yet it is so crucial. Paul saw it as utterly essential. Brethren, pray for us. And he leaves it here to the end, as often he did, perhaps again not to distract from the main bulk of what he's trying to teach, but also because some of the things that stick more in our minds are the final things that we read. And so if you're ever writing anything, I do this on email. If there's something in an email I want someone particularly not to miss, I don't, at times anyway, I don't include it in the body of the email. I put it in a PS because I know that will be read more carefully than the actual body of the email. It's just human nature. And so Paul, in one sense, he leads us to the end. I don't want you to forget this. I've just one request. He pulls it in at the end. Brethren, would you pray for us? Would you remember us before God? Of course, this is to be done in private, but it's also to be done in public. When you read through the book of Acts, and if you were to look for where is this exemplified in the book of Acts, where people prayed for those in ministry? And I was thinking about this just this morning, thinking about where is it exemplified in Acts? And I thought, well, immediately Acts chapter 4, that's one place where they're being threatened, stop preaching, don't preach anymore in this name. And they come together to pray that they will continue with boldness to do the very thing that they're being told not to do, to continue to preach the gospel, that they may be bold in the declaration of truth. And then also I thought of Acts chapter 12. And again, you have this leader in this time, you think of the context of Romans 15, verse 30, where Paul is saying, pray for this in relation to those that were opposing him. Remember that. Please pray in relation to the enemies that are trying to stop me. Well, you could put that right there in Acts 12, where the enemies of the gospel are trying to stop the forward movement of the gospel by putting in prison the leaders and the preachers of the word. And Herod has already killed off James. He has now put in prison Peter. And everyone is convinced that this is what is going to be the end of Peter. He's also going to be martyred. But they come and they pray. They pray against the enemies of the gospel. They pray for the freedom of the preacher. And even though it seems no one believes it will actually happen, they pray anyway. Again, how encouraging is that? That there they are, praying for something no one believes is going to happen. And it's almost an element of humor, as Luke records Acts chapter 12, as he pulls it all together. But so often that's us. I mean, we pray for things, but I was so encouraged by this recently, thinking of, in another context, something where it seems this is impossible. I can't see how it will happen, and yet I'm going to pray that this will occur, even though I don't see how. I'm going to pray for it anyway, because God is gracious enough to hear the prayers, even when his people don't always believe that it will come to pass as they're praying for. That's what Acts 12 teaches me. And you have then this man about to be stopped, and they're praying. But here's my point. In both of those examples, Acts 4, Acts 12, they are not individuals praying. They're not praying at home. Now, there are parts of the book of Acts that deal with individuals praying alone. You have Saul of Tarsus just after his conversion. I think of Peter also before he goes to Cornelius' home. You have examples of men praying alone. But in these cases, when they're praying for the forward movement of the work and the ministers of the gospel in this context, they are praying corporately. And so our corporate prayers should include, must include, when we come together, praying for those involved in forms of ministry and outreach and the preaching of the gospel. And so you would say then, the assumption is, putting into verse 25, understanding verse 25, Paul's not just saying, look, go home and pray for us. Yes, do that, but when you come together, pray for us. Make sure you pray for us when you meet for prayer. The need for intercession. This is part of the purpose of the church, to pray. Pray for the ministers of the gospel, the missionaries of the cross, and the other forms of outreach that may flow out of any given congregation. And even praying generally for the witness of every Christian that it would be effective wherever they are. Let's pray for ourselves, beloved. Let's pray for each other. Secondly, the need for interaction. The need for interaction, not just intercession, but interaction. Verse 26, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Several times Paul gives this exhortation. Romans 16:16, 1 Corinthians 16:20, 2 Corinthians 13:12, and here. And when I come to verses like this, when I read them, I'm not sure I feel as some others might feel when they read them. Sometimes I wonder, what would it be like to read these verses as someone who has never been in a culture where they do this? They actually do greet one another in a form of a kiss. I think, well, it must be a very strange thing to read. And I imagine if someone was to get up and assert that this is what the church must do in this form, that a whole lot of people would get very uncomfortable very quickly. I can only imagine. But I have a little experience with this. Well, more than a little, because my whole father's side of the family, the Armenian side of the family, to this day, it is their culture when you greet with a kiss, usually two, one on each side of the cheek. And that's what they do. And I grew up, every time I would visit our Armenian side of the family, my father's side of the family would come to visit, this is how you say hello. This is how you greet, whether it's your grandparents, your cousins, friends, if they're Armenian, this is what you do. And poor Melanie was thrown into the middle of this when, for the first time, she found herself among some of the Armenian members of the family. And they're all greeting and all these strangers, people she's never met before, at very close proximity. But it is part of the culture. It's just part of what they do. And you'd be a very odd individual and be a matter of insult not to conform to the custom. So it is something I'm familiar with. And in the culture of the Bible, from what I have read, mostly it would be only men who would greet one another like this and women that would greet each other like this. You wouldn't have the opposite sex doing this with if they were strangers to each other. That wouldn't be the norm. But there would be this greeting in this fashion, a greeting of a kiss. You can think of various portions of Scripture, perhaps, in your mind where we have examples of this. And so we read this and we wonder, well, is this what God is demanding? Is God demanding that we here, with our Western sensibilities and our certain cultural forms, is God requiring that there is an adjustment in our form of greeting? Well, maybe. It depends. The purpose of the greeting is to reflect, as I meditated on this, two things: unity and affection. The unity that exists by reason of who they all are in Christ, and the affection that is felt. The form of greeting is urged upon believers to reflect what is true doctrinally. We're all one in Christ. And practically, you should love one another. This then is reflected by this kind of a greeting, this interaction. Greet all the brethren. Why? Why is it so important? Because you're all one in Christ. You greet all the brethren. You don't ignore brethren. You don't act like they don't exist. You don't cut them off, because what you are in Christ should be reflected. And then the affection as well. That we are commanded by Jesus Christ to love. And that's reflected in the holy kiss. The question then is, should we make it a kiss? Is God requiring us to alter our interactions with each other and begin to practice this in some form? Well, I don't think so. As long as our interaction, as long as our greetings reflect what is really the important thing, the unity and the affection, then I think whatever the culture has or whatever form it might be, as long as you're reflecting that, then I find it acceptable and I think it okay. You could take this form of greeting and be guilty exactly with of what Judas was guilty of. He betrayed the Son of Man with a kiss. And so the form of it isn't so much what matters. It is what is truly being reflected, what is real within the heart, that I see myself as one with this brother, with this sister, and I genuinely love them. We are one in Christ, and I love them. And however I reflect that, however the culture may mandate or whatever the community is comfortable with, I don't see it as being a problem. So what we do, what our common mode is, that of a handshake. We shake hands. And I don't see anything wrong with that. I think it's a right way to greet. In fact, I think it's very important for us. And that's why I say it depends. The form of our greeting may change, may have to change, depending on how we view the importance and the significance of our greeting one another, which in our form is with a handshake. Do you see the significance of shaking one another's hands? Do you understand how important it is to make a point to give God's people a solid, warm handshake with a smile as a form of obedience to God? If you do that, then I think you're fulfilling this exhortation. I think we're doing it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.